People all around us are desperate for hope. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to continue sharing the gospel with those in need.
I love the story of the visiting preacher that was preaching in a southern church, and he was preaching along, and he said, "Folks, I believe God wants this church to walk." And the man on the front row said, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk." After a little while longer, he said, "I believe God wants this church to fly." And the man on the front row said, "Let it fly, preacher, let it fly." He said, "Now it's going to take some money for this church to fly." And the man said, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk."
The world is changing, but as Christians, our directive stays the same. God has not called us to compromise or complain about the culture. He has called us to continue. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Continue, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants us to continue developing through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. People all around us are desperate for answers, and we must continue to take the light of the gospel to those lost in culture's darkness. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Continuing in Victory.
The way you approach a project. And David says, "Solomon, I want you to have the right attitude about the temple. Here's the attitude. I want you to be strong, and I want you to do it, and I want you to fear not." Here's the attitude, my friends. Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." My friend, it doesn't really matter the task. If it's a God-pleasing, God-ordained task, then you must recognize the importance of preparing your heart, preparing your mind. It's got to be approached with the attitude that God is able, God can provide. I'm going to continue by the grace of God. Be strong and do it. Fear not, David said. So we must, on the way to victory, first prepare our heart. Not the mind first, because the heart is where all spiritual matters must begin. Then we must prepare our mind. And then notice thirdly, we must prepare a pattern. There must be the preparation of a pattern. Now this is where some of you guys that build airplanes and buildings, listen, you've got the blueprint. You've just got a lot of reprobate hearts and minds you're working with, and sometimes that can be a challenge too. But I'll tell you right now, a carnal mind, a carnal heart, is just as hard to work with. So you've got to have a spiritual heart, a ready mind, and then you've got to have the right pattern. Now look at verse 11. "And David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat." Now, what I have found is that when the heart is pure, the vision is clear. So David, his heart was right with God. Now he could see what God wanted him to do, because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. But David, now with a heart and with a mind in tune with God, now he could get the plan and he could work the plan to the glory of God. He had a pattern to follow. And I want you to think, first of all, briefly about the pattern of the temple. The pattern of the temple. You see, God was going to give to them a pattern to follow. And if a vision will survive, it must be accomplished with a strategy and accompanied by a strategy of faith. And so God says, "I'm going to give you a pattern now to follow." And the pattern is reflective of the ultimate temple that would be built. Now think about this temple for a moment. Think about the distinction of the temple and what all was involved in this project. Just very quickly, this was 45 feet tall. It was 90 feet long. It was 30 feet wide. And it had furniture that had to be prepared, not only for the outer temple, but for the Holy of Holies. The candlesticks, the golden altar of incense, the tables of showbread, the silver candles, the brazen altar, all of the brazen laver. All of these pieces of equipment had to be prepared. Now, I am telling you, nothing would ever be prepared without willing minds and willing hearts. But once those things were prepared spiritually, now the workers could begin on the other things that needed to be done in order to service the worship of 4 million people. And these 24,000 priests who would make sacrifice on the days of holy days of sacrifice, they would be representing the 4 million people in this nation. And so they had a plan for their generation. By the way, God has a plan for this generation. And his plan is the local New Testament church. Now, David definitely prepared his heart, definitely prepared his mind, definitely had a pattern for the temple. But notice what else David did in chapter 29 and verse 2. Everybody with me? Chapter 29, verse 2. Now, David says, I have prepared. Would you say those three words with me? I have prepared. Okay, David says, now I have prepared with all my might. Would you say those three words, please? With
all my might.
That's four words, all right? Now I have prepared with all my might, he says. And then notice this, for the house of my God. Now I have prepared with all my might. For the house of my God, the gold for things of gold, made of gold, the silver to be things of silver, etc., etc. Here we see David personally prepared. David said to all of the people, I'm not asking you to do what I'm not doing. He said, I have personally prepared. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. David was ready and willing with his resources. David knew that God was the owner of this gold and silver, and he was the steward or the manager of it. Ken Blanchard said, the successful person has learned how to make money, but the significant person has learned how to give it away. And so there's not simply a life thought of in terms of success, you see. It's in terms of significance. There is a great difference between success and significance. And someone that lives a significant life is personally involved in advancing the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so David said, I want you to be personally involved in this. Secondly, he said, I want you to be affectionately involved. Affectionately involved. Notice if you would in chapter 29 and verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. I have set my affection to the house of my God. How many of you love the Lord Jesus Christ today?
Amen.
Amen. And we ought to love his church. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible says, set your affection on the things that are above. I love the story of the visiting preacher that was preaching in a southern church. And boy, he was really getting going with the sermon. He was preaching along and he said, folks, I believe God wants this church to walk. And the man on the front row said, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. And boy, he got excited when that fellow started talking to him. He said, I believe God wants this church to run. And the man in the front row said, let it run, preacher, let it run. After a little while longer, he said, I believe God wants this church to fly. And the man on the front row said, let it fly, preacher, let it fly. He said, now it's going to take some money for this church to fly. And the man said, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. You kind of find out how willing our heart and mind really is when we come to this thought of preparation of resources. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't get anything done in your technical job, in your aerospace job. Nothing's done without a pattern and a budget. And whether it's the temple or an F-135, you've got to have a blueprint and you've got to have a budget. And so we see here that David said, I've been preparing personally for this budget. I've been preparing affectionately. I've set my affection on this. Thirdly, he said, I've been preparing abundantly. Verse number 3, he says, moreover, because I have set my affection for the house of my God, I have of my own power of good and of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. Notice this phrase in verse 3. Over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. He said, I had some things in mind. I'm going to do more than I thought I was going to do. He abundantly prepared. 2 Corinthians 9 speaks to the church. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And so we see today way that God has given us a pattern. It's very simple. There must be preparation. There must be the preparation of the heart. There must be the preparation of the mind. There must be the preparation of a pattern. And there must be the preparation of the resources. And that's what today's about. What good is a vision if we're not preparing for the vision? And God has called us, as with David, to be prepared for the work that he has called us to do. I clipped a little quote, and I want to say it to you this morning in light of the children. Scalia said this: Christians who actually expect to live according to the Bible can expect to be viewed as fools. Christians who actually expect to live according to the Bible can expect to be viewed as fools. Now, today we might deal with rumbling at the office and corporate policies about, you know, tolerance or whatever. And today there might be a little snickering on certain channels of the television and certain newsrooms. But I want you to just stop for one moment and ask this question, as I've been asking. What is this country going to be like for my grandson and granddaughter 10 years, 20 years from right now? Scalia prophesied, well, if they live for God, they're going to be treated like a fool. Which tells me that we need homes and churches now more than ever to help children know the God of their fathers so that they can stand in the evil day in which they are going to live. And if there's ever been a time to train teachers, to give our teachers the best classrooms, the best chalkboards, the best equipment, if it's ever been a time to let children know that God's word is the most important truth that you'll ever know, it is today. And our preparation, personally, makes a lot of statements about our desire to continue. Notice, if you would, the seven ways I placed in the conclusion. First, our preparation says that we still have compassion for the lost. It says we have hope for the next generation. It says we have faith in an eternal God. It says we're still committed to our personal faith. It says our pastor is still committed to the long-term vision of the church. It says we want to reach all people. It says we are staking our claim in the Antelope Valley. And I want to tell you today, where there is no interest, there is no investment. I recognize that not every member of Lancaster, listen, there'll be many members of Lancaster Baptist Church who will do nothing because there is no interest in spiritual things. But for those of you that know the Lord and are walking with the Lord and walking in the Spirit, who are interested in spiritual things, then I believe God calls upon us to invest in the next generation for His glory. And I want to tell you something. The greatest investment ever made was not in a building. It was not in a program. The greatest investment ever made was made into you and to me by the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross of Calvary, who shed His blood so that we could know God, so that we could have a reconciliation to God. And I'll be preaching tonight a message on the reconciliation we have with God through His blood. But I want you to understand today, there is still a fountain filled with blood, and sinners drawn beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Someone shared the gospel with us. Now it's our turn. And I ask you this morning to prepare with me. Not just to dream with me, but to prepare. Hearts, minds, patterns, resources. That God be glorified.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.